All right, good morning. Philippians chapter 2. Go to Philippians chapter 2. There's a Bible in front of you. If you're visiting with us, going verse by verse through this book. The theme of this book is joy. So how was your joy this week as a Christian? All right. So we're talking about here, I spoke last week, I'm just going to review like 5 minutes here, but I want to get to my point, my main point today. So how do we maintain this joyful mindset? Look at verse 5, it says, let this mind, again, phroneo is a Greek word, it means to exercise your mind in you, which was also in Christ. So he's saying, think like Jesus, if you want to have joy, think like Jesus. It brings a fruitful life, it brings great rewards later. Inner joy only comes founding in Christ, yielding to the Spirit. It's not attained through what you own, what position you'll have, what power, none of that. 6 weeks before Elvis Presley died, a reporter asked Elvis Presley, Elvis, when you first started playing music, you said you wanted to be rich, famous, and happy. Are you happy? Quote, I'm lonely as H-E-L-L. I saw him 6 weeks before he died. Remember the New Haven Coliseum? My mother stayed out all night, got tickets, or went there. He was all blown up. Because he got hooked on drugs. And most of them were prescription drugs, by the way. So that's one of the things in his mind. He thought he was okay because it wasn't illegal. But he was on so many ups, downs, just so many drugs. But most believe that he got saved when he was younger. And he just got distracted and got hooked on drugs. And they say when he sang gospel songs, it was the happiest that he was. I went to the Bible Museum. I heard some people are going to be going there, and they have Elvis's first Bible right there. I found this quote by Clarence McCartney. He's a pastor. He says, where is happiness? He says, it's not found in pleasure. Lord Byron, he was a famous poet in the 1800s, lived such a life of pleasure. He wrote, quote, the worm, the canker, and the grief are mine alone. Happiness is not found in money. Jay Gould, a railroad tycoon in the 19th century, he was a millionaire. When dying, he said this, quote, I suppose I'm the most miserable man on the earth. Because everyone thinks, I just have money, I'm so happy. It's not found in position and fame. Lord Beaconsfield, in the 19th century, he was prime minister twice in the UK, and he held part of a stake in the Suez Canal. He had money. He wrote, quote, youth is a mistake, manhood is a struggle, and old age is a regret. These people who have power, money, it's not found in military glory. Alexander the Great, of course, he came in 323 BC, and he was fast, went over the world, changed culture, the Greek language. That's why the New Testament was written in Greek. Having done and swept the world, the known world, he went to his tent and he cried. He said, there are no more worlds to be conquered. So he thought it was in a quest, right? We always thought that. I always thought that I was in bodybuilding. I'll be Mr. Connecticut, Mr. America. I'm going to be so happy when I get finally. And that's what everyone thinks. When they get there, what happens? I remember Tom Brady, an interview in CBS. And at that time, he wasn't married. And he said, you're the most eligible bachelor in the world. And you have everything. And he goes, that doesn't help me sleep at night. I'll never forget that quote. So how to maintain this joyful mindset. We said last week, real quick, by putting aside our self-privileges to serve God. Verse 6 and 7, Philippians 2. Who being, remember we looked at this, the idea is existing in the form, it means the essence of God through thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. It means he put aside his glory, he left heaven to come down and die for you. He took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. We spent a lot of time talking about that. Jesus is God. Remember, he previously existed. He always was. He had personal characteristics of he was without sin. He's omnipotent, omnipresent. He performed what only God can do. We saw in Mark chapter 2, he forgave. Only God could forgive. He received worship. No one else received worship. He was proclaimed. He said, I and the Father are one. The Apostle Paul said over and over again, we spent a lot of time talking about these things last week. And so when he took on human form, he had limitations. Remember, he got tired, he got thirsty, but he never lost his divine attributes. He just didn't use them all the time. And it's important to understand that He used them separately. It's called hypostatic union. So he gave up all his pleasures, if you will, or privileges from having to come to save you. So if we're going to be happy, we have to do the same. We have to die to ourselves and look to serve God by serving others. That's where the joy is. It's not in receiving. Psalm 37, verse 4 says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart." That's a great verse. Seek God, everything, right? Because then your will line up with his will, and then he'll give you his will, right? Haven of Hope Addiction Health Center, Lord willing, next fall we're going to put that board together. I used to say, "Lord, I want it to be here." Now I'm like, "Lord, wherever you want it to be, that's where I want it to be." Because I have these ideas, like what I want to do. Well, I think it would be better here. It's like, no, it's like, you decide. Next verse, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Another great verse we read this week with the guys, Proverbs 16:3 says, "Commit thy works unto the Lord." It means to roll over on God, and thy thoughts should be established. This is very important, the order. Instead of saying, "Lord, I want to do this. Can you just bless that?" You go, "Lord, this is yours. What do you want to do? You show me." Yeah, great verse. The second thing we looked at is verse 8, by remaining obedient during suffering, no matter the cost. And this is, spent a lot of time on this last week. "Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." So he died as a criminal. God. He didn't deserve to die, but he was willing to die as a criminal so you and I could be saved. And then as a result of that, look at verse 9, "Wherefore God also has highly exalted him, given a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven," right? The angels, the saints, things in the earth, people living in the earth, things under the earth, Satan, everyone's going to bow the knee and say, "Jesus is Lord. Please do it now. Later you'll do it, but you'll be cast in the lake of fire." So when we humble ourselves and we serve God, there will be a blessing. But you just got to be patient. 1 Peter 5, 6 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." It's his time. Dr. J.H. Jowett said, "Ministry that costs nothing accomplishes nothing." And we spent a lot of time last week on that. I'm not going to spend any more time on that. But it's hard work. Right? Everything. You want to have a good marriage, you got to put the time into it. Warren Wiersbe said this, and then we're going to focus on my last point. We'll spend the whole time on that. He said this, "The test of submission mind is not just how much we are willing to suffer in terms of suffering, but how much we are willing to give in terms of suffering." One pastor complained that his men were changing the words of the hymn, "Take my life and let it be," great song, to "Take my wife and let me be." They were willing for others to make sacrifices, but they were willing to not sacrifice for others. He goes on to say this, "It's one of the paradoxes of the Christian life. The more we give, the more we receive." It's not the opposite. "The more we sacrifice, the more God blesses us. This is why a submission mind leads to joy. It makes us more like Christ. This means sharing his joy as we also share in his sufferings. Of course, when love is the motive, sacrifice is not measured or mentioned. The person who constantly talks about his sacrifices does not have the submissive mind." He's always saying, "I'm sacrificing for you." No. All right, here's where we're going to focus on the rest of the time now. Put down C on your outline. By remembering our Christian life is a sovereign work in us by God. Look at verse 12 and 13. It says this, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my absence only, but now much more in my absence." Now look, you and I need to obey. Now when, I was telling the moms this the other time with their kids, said, "Teach your kids to obey God, not you." And you're saying, "What? That's crazy." No, because when they're around you, they're going to obey. When they're not around you, you're not going to obey. Teach them God. Obey. God sees everything all the time. He says, this is what we're going to focus on now. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We're going to focus on that. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now notice the word salvation there. It's looked at in three ways. The past is when you got saved, you were justified. You were declared righteous by God. That's the past. That's why you're going to heaven. It's based on Christ's work. That's the past if you're saved. The present is what we call sanctification. God is working in you to become more like Christ through the Spirit and the Word of God. The future is glorification. That's going to happen one day if you're saved. Right? So the future is going to happen. The past is already done. We're talking about the present. Having the mindset of Christ and living for Christ. So working out what's already in there is going to look like Christ. All right? I'll give you some examples. You have to go into a coal mine to pull out the mine. Where is, in the United States, where do you think the coal is the most being pulled out? Tell me. Pennsylvania, West Virginia, nope. I looked it up. West Virginia is only 14%. Pennsylvania is 7%. Wyoming, 40% is taken. I'm like a bunch of cowboys. Like, I never would have dreamed that in my life. You have to go and pull the harvest. Where is most of the fruits and vegetables in general come from? California. They come from other places. Grain would be like Illinois, Iowa. Where does the most timber come from? Georgia. That blew my mind. I started looking these things up. I was like, what? And my point is this. Anybody can work out their salvation as a Christian. Whether you think you're nothing, wherever you are, it doesn't matter. You need to work out your salvation. Now this idea is, worketh in both to will. So God gives you the desire and to do. He enables you to do that. So how does he do that? Through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, through prayer, suffering to some degree. So watch. If we don't expose ourselves to that, you will not work out your salvation. You'll be hindering that process. So if you're not in the Word, I'm not in the Word, we're not praying, we're not yielding to the Spirit, we're not rightly, when suffering comes, to deal with that correctly, you will not work out your salvation. You will not show the mind of Christ to the people around you. I talked about last week at the end of the message, work out your own salvation with toothpaste. Right? Squeezing out everything. I did that 2 weeks ago. Every stop, I'm doing like, I can get some more out of it. Somebody, when they were leaving, said, I just cut it open. So in order to have this mind of Christ, you have to die. It's the hardest thing. It's denying yourself. We think it's denying ourselves, we're going to be miserable. It's really, that's the biblical way. Luke 9, 23 and 24, one of my favorite verses. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny, means disown himself. Take up his cross daily. That's submission. Remember the idea of Rome. Rome would make you carry that cross. You're submitting to Rome. You broke the law. And follow me. It's in the present tense continually. Then it says this, for whosoever shall save his life, means if you'll live for yourself, you're going to lose the abundant life. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, will die, deny himself, shall save it. John 3:30, John the Baptist said, what did he say? I must decrease, but he must increase, right? It's the way that we have eternal life. I found these 10 rules for being happy or joyful. Unknown author says, number one, give something away. Now, you're going to notice that all of these have to do with others, not yourself. Number two, do a kind act towards others. Number three, spend a few minutes with the aged. With Ken, with George. Yeah, me. I'm going to be 66 tomorrow. The idea is that, look, it's off of yourself. When you're miserable, get up and go and serve somebody else. Don't keep thinking about yourself. Look intently into the face of a baby and just marvel at God's creation. Laugh often. I actually was listening to something this week. What women are attracted? I wasn't listening. I just heard this. Okay, so I gotta go back a little bit here. What are women the most attracted to? You know what this person said, at least this survey, is a sense of humor to make them laugh. One of the things that my son, he's in heaven now, one of the things that he would make you laugh, he was so funny. He's very compassionate as well. Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart doth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth up the bones. And remember, we're not laughing at people. Give thanks. The Bible is so clear on thanks, right? Giving thanks. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and everything gives thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Pray, cast all your cares over me, work hard. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Do it unto the Lord. You're going to have joy doing that. If you're lazy, you're not going to feel good afterwards. You do things half-hearted, I don't care what it is. Plan as though you'll live forever, because you will. There's rewards later on, not all here. And then 10, live as though you'll die tomorrow, because you may. Now, this idea of fear and trembling, I found a great quote, Ed Rostio said this, it is not fear of being lost, but the fear of failure of not walking in loneliness of mind, in true humility, and in unfailing obedience. It's the fear of all that would rob us of spiritual vitality and spiritual victory, of shrinking from all carelessness in matters of faith and life. So if you and I are going through the motions of life with no joy, you are focusing on your circumstances, not on Christ. It's that simple, I'm talking as a Christian, right? Remember what we have in Christ. Ephesians 2:6-7 says, and he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly place in Christ. If you're saved today, we're already sitting in the heavenlies. It's a done deal. You're there. Eventually, you're going to get there with a new redeemed body. You got to remember that. Verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ. He's going to display you for all eternity as a trophy of grace. 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Don't boast in anything that you do. It's all by God's grace. And his grace which bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which is in me. An old man was asked, what has robbed him from joy in most of his life? He replied this, things that never happened. Think about that, right? How many times do you know I've worried about things that never happened? Or we had no control of? They say 92% of what we worry about never happens. We have no control over it. It said it robbed him of all that joy. I can honestly say that as a pastor, I've grown more. I'm not perfect yet. Only when I get to heaven. But I worry less. What about this person? What about that person? If they do this, what about... This is God's church. I found this other thing. Somebody said, three keys to joy. First of all, fret not, because God loves you. John 13:1 says this, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour, talking about suffering, was come, that he should depart out of this world, right, die unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end. You know, you can never be separated from the love of God. The person sitting next to you may not love you all the time. I do a lot of counseling with people, and it's like, oh, this person doesn't love me. My father didn't love me. My mother loved me. I said, look, and God loves you no matter what. I'm not saying what they did was right, but Jesus said, I say it a billion times. He said what? Love as I have loved you. See, I don't care. Don't be a victim. Let God heal you and love as Christ loves you, not as your parents or anybody else. Because then you're a victim over and over again. He said, fret not, faint not, God's holding you. Psalm 139, verse 9 and 10 says, if I take the wings of the morning, talking about these light beams, I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. It means to seize, to take a hold of. And he says, fear not, God watches over you. Psalm 121, verse 5, the Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade, means protector, upon thy right hand. Now, if you work out your salvation, watch what's going to happen. So let me give you some results now, the rest of this text real quick, is we will not have secret discontent when we have the mind of Christ. Look at verse 14 real quick. It says, do all things, not some, without murmurings. That means muttering secret discontent and disputing. That's inward questioning. So how much did you complain this week? All right, we're going to take Todd. I'm just looking at Todd. I'm gonna put the whole screen up for the last, all his thoughts up. We're going to put it on the screen. How much would we complain and how much would we praise the name of God? When we have the mind of Christ, we're not complaining. This is huge. Mark Twain said this. I love it. Do not complain and talk about all your problems. He said this, 80% of the people don't care. And he said the other 20% think you deserve it. What I'm just saying is take your problems to God. I'm not saying go to a godly person, let you know, get some counsel. I'm not saying that. But the point he's trying to make is that you're around a complainer all the time. They don't want to be around you. When we have the mind of Christ, we're not complaining all the time. No one wants to be around a person who complains all the time. Now, really quick, hold your finger here. Go to James 3. Let's talk about the tongue for a second here. I preach messages on this. The Bible says in James 1:26, you go to chapter 3, it says this, if any man among you seem to be religious, hey, you're a spiritual person, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man religion is vain. It's empty. So if you and I say, oh, I'm so spiritual, look at me, all the knowledge I know, but you're a negative complaining all the time, it's not true. That's what that verse is saying. It's not true. You're not spiritual. Because those who demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit are spiritual. James chapter 3, verse 1, my brother, it should be not many masters, knowing that we all shall give the greater combination. You know what? If you're in a position of authority, you're going to have to give an account of what you told people. As a parent, as a pastor, as everything. Everybody wants to be in authority, but then you got a great accountability, wherever that is. He says, for in many things we offend all, right? James includes himself. If any man offend in word or in speech, he goes this, not offend, excuse me, in the word, the same as a perfect man. So he's saying, look, if you're really good with your tongue and your spirit, you're spiritual. You're able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn them about their whole body, right? This little bit, this powerful horse. Verse 4, another example. Behold, also ships, which though they be so great, are driven in the fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm or rudder, wheresoever the governor listeth, the captain. Verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member, boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. One match. Remember the Chicago fire? Burned down so many things. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, is a tongue among members that it defiled the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. He's saying here, it means a pattern. So you'll set a pattern up. If you're a complainer, you'll always keep complaining. And you set neurotransmitters a pathway. You'll keep doing that. You got to break that with the mind of Christ. Verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame. It's unruly evil. You can't do it yourself. It's a deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, therewith curse we man, which are made after the similitude of the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceeding blessings and curses, my brethren, these things ought not to be. Doth the fountain send forth the same sweet water, like fresh water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bring olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh water. So one other passage I want you to turn to, and then we get back to our text and finish. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, and Paul says the same thing here about working out your salvation, what it looks like. And it's thinking like Christ, not a worldly mind. Watch this. Ephesians 4:17 says this, this I say therefore, testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. That means lost people. When you were lost. And what does he say at the end there? In the vanity of their mind. And that vanity means empty of God's truth, delusional, void of the truth, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. Now watch verse 19. This is how we used to think, and we got to stop thinking like this. Who, being past feelings, have given themselves over to lasciviousness. That's just unchecked lust. to work out all uncleanness and greediness. That's covetousness. See, if we're so controlled, even as a Christian, about lustful things, of having things, no, that's the way we used to think. That's a worldly mind. That's not a Christ-like mind. And so he tells you how to straighten it out here. He says, but you have not so learned. That's not the mind of Christ. If so be, or since that you have heard him, you have been taught by him. We know the truth. That you put off the concerning the former conversation, means the old lifestyle of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. There it is again, the word of God changing you. That which you put on, the new man, which after God is created in holiness and true, created in righteousness and true holiness. Now watch this. Watch the opposite. So when we're Christ-like-minded, we won't do these things. Watch. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. So when we're lying as believers, we're not working out our salvation. We're doing the total opposite. And then it says, be angry, talking about biblical anger there, and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. A lot of our biblical anger turns to unbiblical anger. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. Remember, you can steal someone's reputation. It's not just an object. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good. Everybody needs a helping hand one time, but continual handout is no good for anybody. This verse is very powerful. When I teach Haven of Hope, you're not getting nothing for free. You're going to work for it. You're not going to steal. You're going to work. And then it says, it tells you at the end what? Working with that he may give to him that needeth. You used to steal before, now you're helping other people. And then 29, let no corrupt or rotten or decaying communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the ear. So all our words, we're working out our salvation through our words. We're either encouraging people or causing them to go away from Christ. And grieve not, the idea, don't sadden the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed to the day of redemption. You can't lose your salvation. You can grieve the Spirit, you can quench the Spirit, but he can't leave you. Not like the Old Testament. David said, take not the Holy Spirit from me. The Holy Spirit came and went in the Old Testament, not the New Testament. He's in you. You can't. You can grieve him. Now watch this verse. Let all bitterness settle hostility. We are not working our salvation when we're bitter at anybody. And wrath, outburst, anger, clamor, like making noise, evil speaking about people, put away from you with all malice that's trying to get even. But be kind-hearted, once you know, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ. So watch, if you have bitterness towards anybody right now, you're not working out your salvation. No. This is so important, it's working out your salvation. It's showing Christ to the world when we're doing that. And then we'll have true joy. All right, I'm in big trouble here. I'm going to do this fast. I'm going to go. Phew. All right, we will not be singled out for unholy behavior. Go back to our text now. Watch this. Look at Philippians 2, verse 15. I want to finish this message, so I'm going to skip a bunch of stuff. He says, that ye be blameless, harmless, the sons of God. Watch this. Without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Blameless means above reproach. Harmless means unpure, pure, sincere. Without rebuke means no occasion to complain about. Now, obviously, people will say bad things about us, but unjustified. I found this true story with John Wesley. He started Methodism, and he was with a friend, and they were over this lady's house. She was beautiful, and she had some money. And she loved his preaching, so they were having a meal together. And the friend said to Wesley, he said, do you see the hand of that woman, her sparkling rings that she wore? And, of course, Wesley was against all that kind of stuff, flashy stuff. And so what do you think about that? They're out to dinner. He lifted up her hand and said, what do you think about this, John Wesley? The girl turned crimson, that means red. Wesley likewise was embarrassed, but his aversion or against all this flashy jewelry was all too well known for him. But with a benevolent smile, he simply said, "The hand is very beautiful." Wesley remarked, both cooled the hot temper by his friend, and the foot washing was gentle. The young woman appeared at the evening service without jewels, and she became a Christian. So rebuke in the right way is very important. See, real quick, we will shine for Christ. Look at the end of verse 15. It says, in the midst of crooked impersonation, among whom you shall shine as lights in the world. Jesus said this, Matthew 5:14-16. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, put it under a basket, put it under a candlestick, and give it light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine among men. Work out your salvation so people could see it. That's what he's saying. They may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, are we shining that light or are we not? D, we'll have joy at the judgment seat of Christ. Look at verse 16. Holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that if I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Matthew 25:21 says, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter what? What does it say? Into the joy of the Lord. At the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:12-15 says, now if any man build upon this foundation, talking about your salvation, gold, silver, precious stone, that's working out your salvation. Wood, hay, and stubble, you're doing things in the flesh for your glory. Every man's work shall be made manifest for the day. What's that? The judgment seat of Christ, talking to Christians. Shall declare it because it shall be revealed by fire. What's fire? Revelation 1 talks about Jesus' eyes were as flame as fire. He's going to see all the motives why we did what we did. Every man, what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he has built upon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Of what? Rewards, not salvation. Why? At the end it says, but he himself shall be saved, yet so by fire. The last thing, and we'll close, is others will have joy when they see us stand for Christ. Look at verse 17 and 18. It says, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice, here he's talking about this, like in the Old Testament, this pouring out of an offering unto God, and the service of your faith. Watch how many times he says this. I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. So he's saying, look, when your mindset, I live a mindset for Christ, you know what you're going to do? You're going to bring joy to other people, not just yourself. How we live, what we do, we affect other people. We're either helping them to come to Christ or encouraging a Christian to go forward. Philippians 1:12-13 says this, and we'll close. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out, means brought about, rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. So Paul was thrown into prison for standing up for Christ. He says, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in the palace and all other places. He was going to witness the imperial guards. But here's the verse 14. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So our example, it's contagious. We give confidence to other people when we have this Christ mindset. But the opposite is true when we don't. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for who you are, what you have done. Everybody with their head bowed, their eyes closed, you're here today. I just want to ask you a question first. You can't have the joy of the Lord without having the Lord. You first have to be saved, born again. What does that mean? That means the Bible is clear. We're all sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible goes on to say the wages of sin is death. There's two deaths in the Bible, physical, spiritual. You will die in your sin and go eternity away from God in hell because God is just and holy. But he loved you so much, he stepped down over 2,000 years ago in the person of God, Jesus Christ, and he died for you. But you must receive him. You must repent, turn from what you're trusting in, your good works, and turn by faith because of God's grace and get saved. It's a one-time thing that you do. It's not something you do over and over again. So I want to pray for you. I won't embarrass anybody, but you're here today, say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm born again. I want to be sure. I want to know I'm going to heaven. Anybody at all, put your hand up, put it back down. I won't call you out. I just want to pray for you. I'm not sure I'm saved. come and talk to me later. Some people are embarrassed to raise their hand, but listen, it's eternity. We're talking about eternity here. Please come to Christ. You're a Christian. You've been saved. You want to have joy? It's simple. This text is simple, right? Stop becoming a servant. Deny yourself. Look to serve, not be served. And then you're going to have to suffer for Christ. See, the farther we suffer for him, the more we're living all out for him, the more we yield to the Spirit, the more we have joy. It's really that simple. And then you have to sit at Jesus' feet every day. You have to renew your mind. You have to be reminded of the promises. You have to be reminded of where we are, who we are, what God can do. If you're not doing that, the Bible is clear. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. If you're not hearing the word every day, your faith is going down. Even though one time you really lived for God, your faith is going away. And no one is exempt. I don't care how much knowledge you know. Father, we thank you so much for this great plan of salvation. Help us through the Spirit, the Word of God, and prayer to work out our salvation so we could show the world Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.